Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the fourth quarter FY 2023 earnings conference call for Eastech Heavy Engineering, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Bharat Jain of ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good day, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the quarter four FY 2023 earnings conference call of Eastech Heavy Engineering Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Aditya Puri, Managing Director, Mr. Kishor Patnani, Whole-time Director and CFO, and Mr. Sanjay Gulati, Whole-time Director and Head of Manufacturing Units. We will start the call with opening remarks from Mr. Puri, post which we will have the Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Puri for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Bharat Ji. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings conference call. I hope that you and your loved ones are all well and safe. We look forward to a fruitful interaction. You have seen the quarterly and annual financial results that were published yesterday. We've also uploaded our presentation on BSE, NSE, and on our own website, www.eastech.com, earlier today. There is also much more information about our business on our website. The standalone financial revenue for Q4 FY 2023 is rupees 1,425 crores, compared to rupees 1,366 crores in Q4 FY 2022. The standalone revenue for the financial year ended 31st March 2023 is rupees 4,687 crores, which is about 5% higher compared to rupees 4,470 crores for the financial year ended 31st March 2022. The standalone profit before tax for Q4 FY 2023 is 78% higher at rupees 84 crores, against rupees 47 crores for Q4 FY 2022. Further, for the financial year ended 31st March 2023, the profit before tax is rupees 234 crores, which is about 59% higher compared to rupees 147 crores for the financial year ended 31st March 2022. The consolidated revenue for Q4 FY 2023 is rupees 2,048 crores, which is about 28% higher compared to rupees 1,597 crores for Q4 FY 2022. Also, for the financial year ended 31st March 2023, the consolidated revenue is rupees 6,412 crores, which is 16% higher compared to rupees 5,513 crores for financial year ended 31st March 2022. The consolidated profit before tax for Q4 FY 2023 is rupees 126 crores, compared to rupees 48 crores for Q4 FY 2022. The consolidated profit before tax for the financial year ending 31st March 2023 is rupees 290 crores, as compared to rupees 158 crores for the financial year ending 31st March 2022. In the standalone results, the profitability is better, both for the manufacturing segment and the EPC segment. The consolidated profit is better because of higher profits in Eastech Heavy Engineering Limited standalone and in Saraswati Sugar Mills Limited. I will now talk about the order booking. The consolidated order booking for Q4 of FY 2023 is rupees 2,482 crores, compared to rupees 1,442 crores of orders booked in Q4 of last year. The consolidated orders in hand as on 31st March 2023 are rupees 8,321 crores, against rupees 7,322 crores as on 31st March 2022. The order book position is good. Of the consolidated order book, 79% is for project business and 21% for product business. The order book includes rupees 839 crores for international orders, which is about 10%. The order book for Eastech Hitachi Zosen is also good. It has rupees 506 crores of orders as on 31st March 2023. Philippines project. As informed earlier, the construction is progressing at the Cavite Biofuels Ethanol plant in Philippines and is expected to be completed by the end of next quarter. Market demand. The overall demand trend has improved and the inquiry position continues to be good. Export inquiries have picked up, though order fructification is slow. As a leading company providing products and solutions for multiple industries, ISEC Heavy Engineering Limited is in a favorable position to participate in India's growth story. My colleagues and I will now be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from Jitin Parmar of Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to know, in the past, we have done margins of 9% and 10%. We have improved in this year. But when do we see ourselves getting to those kind of margins, which look a bit healthy than what they are currently?
So I think margins will be in the next year will be better than they were this year, largely because of the old orders which had seen commodity price increases and which had seen projects getting a little stressed. Those will get completed over the next few quarters. So we should look at normal margins during this financial year.
Okay. And what about execution? Our order book, what is the executable period for this order book? Or is there any guidance on, you know, what revenue growth we will be able to do in FY24 and FY25?
As a practice, we don't give a guidance because different orders have different execution life cycles. But there will certainly be growth in the next year.
Okay, thank you so much. That's all for now. I'll ask questions if I come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Bharshan Basla of Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, if you could just take us through, especially the follow-up to the last question that, what sort of margins that we are anticipating for both the segments, which is the EPC segment and the product business. If you could just take us through some broad ballpark thought process, because now the order book is with us, with a lot of new orders that we have booked in the recent past. So, some sense on that, and what is the strategy that we follow? Because earlier we used to take fixed price contracts where, the commodity prices used to disturb, the margin trajectory. So the thought process change that has happened, in the past couple of quarters that you have guided. So how are we placed in terms of tackling the changes in the raw material prices and the eventual margin trajectory for us for both the businesses, EPC and products? That will be helpful.
So at this point, we can say that we expect that this year will have better margins in both the EPC business and in the manufacturing business. And as regards your question about fixed price contracts, we have to take the contracts which are there in the market, and we cannot say that we will not take fixed price contracts. However, as a conscious decision, we are trying to take projects with slightly smaller duration so that the risk element reduces. And which should lead to better margins, should ultimately lead to better margins. But we cannot get away from fixed price contracts. That's the reality. A lot of contracts are fixed price.
I can add to that to say that a significant portion of our order book, around 40-45%, is PSU, from PSUs, and therefore there is there are index-linked costs which can be passed on. I mean, there is a price variation clause there. So while 100% of the change doesn't get passed on, but 50-60% of price cost variation can be passed on. The other thing is that I think we are keeping slightly, as Mr. Puri said, we are taking orders with comparatively lesser duration than we were taking earlier, and also we are keeping a slightly higher contingency margins.
Okay,
so that,
sir,
so that we can protect the margins that we thought we will get when we booked the orders.
Yeah, got it. So broadly, if you see on console numbers, we are closer to 7% kind of margins. Can we expect this margin to be 100 to 150 bps higher in this financial year? Will that be, something that you can help us to guide?
So console obviously is a function of ISDEC Heavy Engineering plus Saraswati Sugar Mills, which is a significant portion there. And also is the Hitachi Zosen.
Yes.
So, we hope to be there. Right? The number that you mentioned now, we hope to be there.
Okay. And sir, if you see in this balance sheet, the debtors have gone up significantly. Despite the EPC top line becoming there only, not much of a growth. So could you guide why that has happened, and when can we expect this receivable days to come down again?
So some of the longer duration projects where there are significant milestone linked payments, those projects some of those projects are expected to be completed during the current year. And therefore, by the end of this year, we expect the debtors to come down.
Okay, because it's almost 500 crore plus increase in this balance sheet. So can we expect to go back to those numbers like 2000 or 2200 crore odd debtors in this financial year?
They will certainly be down. But when you say 2200 crores, it's also the another function is, what is the billing in the last quarter of the next year, and how much growth we have in the turnover? But yes, they will in terms of number of days, they'll certainly be down.
So 140 days, we went up to almost 160. So we expect that to come down to again 140 sort of.
I find it very difficult to give a number, but I can say with surety that they will be down.
Okay, and sir, my last question pertains to the Philippines, the project, because you have already guided that by next quarter end we'll be starting the project, which is clearly sitting very heavy on our balance sheet right now, with a lot of CWIP which has got stuck. So can you guide what sort of plan that we are having, either we are planning to sell it or anyway we said that we are going to start it, but in some sense, what sort of profitability that we are looking at? Because in India, most of the ethanol plants, if we see, they are substantially better off because government has got a policy to buy, the ethanol, and most plants are making decent, ROEs at this point of time. So how that particular thing is there in Philippines, if you could just guide to some sense, will be really helpful for us.
So Philippines, of course, also has government protection and government promotion for ethanol. So there is a 10% reservation, 10% blending requirement for ethanol. And the country's current production is only about 5%. So market for ethanol is absolutely assured. The second point is the price for ethanol. So just like in India, the government fixes a price for ethanol. In Philippines, there is a price fixed, but it is a variable price and it is revised every 15 days. So there is a government body called the National Bioethanol Board, which revises the price every 15 days. And the price takes into account, gives 50% weightage for sugarcane as feedstock and 50% weightage to molasses as feedstock. So effectively, the cost of the feedstock becomes a pass-through in the price. And besides the feedstock, there is a 22 peso conversion rate to cover the fixed cost and the margins. And to our estimate today, the EBITDA margin is close to 25 to 26-27% per liter in ethanol in Philippines.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Umesh Rath of Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted to have some broader idea about the demand outlook, especially from the core industries like oil and gas, metal, cement in the domestic market, and as well as on the export side as well, as a few of the European countries are now again planning to invest into the old economy industries like oil and gas. So how are you seeing pipeline from the domestic as well as export markets?
So even when the economy in the last few years, the government sector, the public sector had been investing in India. But increasingly, we are seeing that the private sector is also enthusiastic to invest. And they are taking decisions. So we think that the demand is going to, India is growing. For India to grow, capital goods have to be produced. And we are optimistic about the domestic demand scenario for capital goods. As far as overseas is concerned, we are seeing that interest is increasing. There are a lot of budgetary and firm inquiries. However, the decision-making is getting delayed. In some cases, it's getting delayed because their banks are not giving them credit or loans for the capital investment, or are demanding much more information from them. Banks are becoming more demanding of the project finances. So there is a problem in people tying up finances, or there may be other reasons, uncertainty. So decision making is getting delayed, but we think that these inquiries will be decided, but with a delay. So I can say that there are green shoots in the export market. The situation in terms of inquiries is better than before, but it's not a very robust market at this point in time.
Okay. And sir, also, if you can highlight your market share, especially in the oil and gas segment, and also your order inflow contribution from some of the sectors like sugar, oil and gas, metal and cement.
It's very difficult to quantify because there are so many players and there's so many products in these areas. It's very difficult to quantify what our market share for a particular sector would be. But we have fairly high market shares in some of these sectors for the products that we supply.
Got it. And last question is, sir, on the FGD side, how are you looking at the pipeline now? And what is your experience about the competitive intensity over there? As we are observing that pricing sanity is relatively better now in case of FGD projects.
Yeah, it is better, and if inquiries if there are going to be inquiries, we do expect inquiries from the state sector. The NTPC projects have all been awarded. We do expect inquiries from the state sector, and based on those inquiries and based on our experience with the past FGDs, and our costing, we'll decide how much we have to participate in the market. We will participate, but let me put it on our terms.
Thank you very much.
But we are, as informed the board earlier, we have got orders for some other sort of technologies for the air pollution control, which are shorter duration projects, and we are actively participating in those projects. And we are executing some of the orders based on those technologies.
Competition
is also less than, for those technologies because these are niche technologies.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one, and we ask that you limit your questions to two or three at a time. Our next question is from Khadija Mantri of Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Hello.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question is that if you see Q4 growth was largely driven by manufacturing segment, so I just wanted to know how is it likely to be in the coming quarters, whether we would have more of execution from the EPC segment. Also, I would like to know CAPEX plan for the next 2 years and also current utilization levels.
So we will not be able to give you information for the next quarter per se, but we expect that this financial year, the percentage of revenue coming from manufacturing will be slightly higher than what it was in the previous year. So that is the one guidance that we can give you. And as far as the capacity utilization is concerned, our shops in most businesses are fairly well occupied, are fairly heavily occupied. As far as capital expenditure is concerned, it's going to be normal capital expenditure as of now. If there are any changes, in sugar, if we expect any major changes, we obviously let you know, but as of now, it will be the normal capital expenditure. In sugar, we are investing about 65 crores through internal accruals for converting our process, which is a double sulfitation process, to a process that will manufacture refined sugar.
Okay, sir. And also one more thing that I've observed in the results is that employee cost has gone down in proportion to the sales. So for FY23 as a whole. So is there any retrenchment exercise that we have done, or it's just that the productivity has increased?
No, we have not done any retrenchment exercise.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Ashwani Sharma of ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the guidance. So last year, we had guided for a 5% kind of a growth on the top line. If you could give us, you know, a similar guidance for this year as well, that will be helpful, sir.
So you will see that our order book is higher. So we certainly expect growth. We don't actually have a practice, Ashwiniji, of giving out a number. But still, I'll say it will be in double digits. So certainly more than 10%.
Thank you very much, sir. On the if you look at the order book, we also have some exposure to railways and defense. So you know there has been a larger capex happening on the railways and defense. Is there a possibility that we get some large order from railways and defense so that our overall order inflow order backlog improves?
It is a possibility. It is certainly a possibility. You can't rule it out. It depends on what projects there are in the market, but yes, it is a possibility.
So the railways, we have been doing projects to supply factories for the railways. So wheel and axle plant, a coach repair factory, coach building factory, those kind of projects we've been doing for the railway companies, not really for the railways directly, but for the railway companies. And we continue to bid for those projects in the market.
Thank you. The next question is from Anupam Goswami of ACT Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question is on the longest horizon. Now we that have a book, order book of about 850 billion, but how sustainable is the order inflow, and where do you think the industry is to grow and have a sustainable growth for us?
I think the order booking is sustainable, but I did not get your last question. I'm sorry for that. What is your last question? Sustainable?
I wanted to understand, where do you see the outlook from this point? How sustainable is the order inflow going to be, and which are the industries going to lead that for us?
So, so at this point in time, there are a lot of industries that are investing. Steel is investing, cement is investing, refineries, oil and gas, fertilizers. Then there is power for air pollution control equipment. Automobiles is also seeing an uptick. So all these industries are growing. Specialty chemicals, all these industries are growing.
To see such be having a strong growth in the industry and quite a strong outlook, then why do we guidance are providing at 5-6% sort of? Shouldn't we grow at a higher rate?
So I think the guidance right now was given as double digit, right? So that is the guidance.
Okay. For at least for the next 2 years.
We hope so, but we hope so.
Yeah, okay. And timeline for this order book?
Pardon?
What timeline for this order book?
I couldn't hear you. The operator was what of the order book?
What is the execution timeline for this order book?
So execution time as is different for different orders. If you're trying to get back to what is going to be the revenue, next year we have already answered that we are going to see double-digit growth. As you know, different products have different execution timelines. So, for example, a simple casting may take 3 or 4 months. A complex casting may take 6-7 months. A sugar plant will take 11 months, 12 months. A distillery will take 11-12 months. A boiler will take 14 months. A DSI air pollution control project will take about 1.5 years. Some of the more complex ones will take 2 years. So there are a variety of across the different product lines. There are different execution cycles, and orders are in different stages of execution.
Okay, thank you. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Digant Haria of Green Edge Talk. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So wanted to check, some of those slow-moving, long-duration orders, they were about to go, we were about to reach very large milestones, have we reached there and that has resulted in this improvement in margins, or that milestones we are yet to reach in those large projects?
So, do you know the milestones keep accumulating in terms of the fact that you achieved some milestones, but there's yet many more milestones to achieve. But what we are saying is that progressively the share will keep coming down of these long duration projects, these milestone based projects.
Right. So the margin seen should actually improve, right? If those projects run down, you know, the margin and working capital should progressively improve over the coming quarters.
Like that is right. In response to one of the earlier questions, somebody asked whether margins will increase 1-1.5%. We said we are hopeful for that. And I also said that receivable days will come down.
Right. Thanks. So second question is, see, in this manufacturing bit, you know, in the manufacturing business, after a long time, we've crossed that 2,000 crores kind of an annual number. And the growth rates are, you know, almost in double digits. So, you know, what has led to that? And, you know, even on this base, we are expecting double digit growth in the manufacturing business as well.
So on a standalone basis, yes. On a consolidated basis, may not be, but will be close to double digits.
All right. So that's really good to know. And so last, my final question would be, sir, you know, any update on the Philippines plan? I'm not sure if it's asked again because I joined late, but are we operating it or we'll start?
So we are getting ready to operate the plant. The plant construction is going, as we said, that by the end of next quarter, we'll be ready to commission the plant.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Rikesh Parikh of Rockstar Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Largely, just relating to this Philippines project, sir, just wanted to understand, now we are very close to operationalizing this project. So, how are the dynamics over there in terms of profitability or something, if you can throw some highlight over?
I think that question on profitability was answered just a few minutes ago.
I can repeat that. In terms of Philippines has a 10% blending requirement as per government regulation. So petrol needs to be blended with 10% of ethanol. The country's existing production is only about 5%. So there is an assured demand for the ethanol that we will be producing. The pricing of the ethanol is controlled, regulated, and decided on every 15-day basis, updated every 15 days by a government authority called National Bioethanol Board. They, when they decide the price, they give a weightage to the feedstock, 50% molasses and 50% sugarcane. So effectively the feedstock cost becomes a pass-through to the ethanol price. There is a 22 peso conversion margin which is given in the rate for the ethanol. So by our estimates, the EBITDA per liter of ethanol is about between 25% and 28%.
Thanks, sir. And lastly, any negotiation going on right now on this? Anything to observe on that?
So we are preparing to run the plant.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's it from me, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Manish Goya of ThinkWise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. Hope you can hear me. So I just want to clarify the order inflow number for quarter four, which was mentioned earlier. And maybe if you can share FY23 order inflow number. That is the first question. Then on order pipeline, you probably get more, would like to get more perspective as to which are the segments we see pipeline to be stronger for ordering in the near term? Are we seeing any slowdown in oil and gas segment from refineries and petrochemical projects? Or also, if you can highlight which are the areas we see growth coming from. I probably see that the manufacturing business has seen a very strong dispatches from the Hitachi Zosen, because our subsidy or the balancing figure in the segment has gone up to 395 crores. So I believe there was some delay in dispatches. So if you can share the Hitachi numbers as well, will be very helpful, and outlook from the Hitachi, particularly on the margin as well, because if I look at the full year numbers, seems to be very low margins for the JV performance. Also, if you can highlight Eagle Press performance, have we seen any turnaround over there? And one more question on the ethanol business, which we started last year. It seems to be, looking at the full year numbers, the profitability looks quite low. So is it that probably in the first year of operation we are seeing this, or maybe if you can help us, how do we see the profitability in the ethanol project going forward? And last question, how much investments have we from the EJAC balance sheet will, or exposure from the EJAC balance sheet will be there in the Caveat Biofuel? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manishji. I'll try to remember all the questions. You've asked a lot of questions, which is very nice. You're taking interest in our company. You continue to take interest. I know you've been taking interest in our company for a long, long time.
Thank you.
So, Manishji, the consolidated order booking for Q4 was 2482 crores, 2482 crores.
Okay.
And this compares to 1442 crores in the same quarter last year.
Okay.
The consolidated order booking for the full year is 6599 crores, nearly 6600 crores.
Okay.
Okay. And then you asked about
order pipeline, sir, and particularly oil and gas refineries, and which are the growth areas which probably move forward.
So your question, I think, was that are we seeing a slowdown in orders from oil and gas? It's going according to plan, because we know roughly when the orders are going to be decided, and there is no major disruption. I know one particular project within the country has got delayed, but that is also now coming up in the next 45 days or so. I mean, so the formalities, only the formalities are left. So we are not seeing any unusual movements with respect to oil and gas compared to what we had thought would be. And we are seeing movements in oil, or we are seeing orders from oil and gas boilers because of steam requirements. They are increasing, and also automobile is doing better than what it was doing before. Their investments have started happening over there, and as I said, the specialty chemicals, cement, steel. So these are the sectors from where the pipeline projects will come.
And sir,
one more would be your ethanol plants.
Yeah, okay. That is what I was trying to refer. Okay. And on the JV performance, sir, probably seeing that Hitachi seems to be, no doubt, have done a large dispatch, but maybe if you can share some numbers.
So the revenue is about little less than 600 crores for the Hitachi Zosen. And the profit is you're right, it is close to about 2%.
So how do we see these going forward? I believe there were some challenges in the recent past order, but now with 500 crore order book, how do you see outlook for this?
We see it improving during this year. We see it improving during this financial year, and as we've seen, we hope to improve this year. I think that's all about all that we can say right now.
You are largely referring to profitability, sir?
Yeah.
And sir, how done, sir?
Hanji, sorry.
Eagle Press subsidiary in Canada, how is it done, sir?
So Eagle subsidiary, this year was not good. The year that went by was not good because we've been saying it earlier. Conference calls that the order booking was low because of the automobile sector not picking up in the US, which was a function of both the recession in the US and the chip shortage. However, things have improved and there has been a very good order booking in the last few months, and we hope to see a turnaround in Eagle Press this year, this current year.
Okay, wonderful, sir. And last question, sir, on the ethanol project, what we started last year, the segmental shows that margins are a bit lower at PBIT margin at 3.5%, and ROC seems to be just 6%. So is it, maybe if you can comment on that as well.
So the ethanol project, so there are two things that have happened. One is that we had said in the, I think it was in the last conference call or the call previous to that, that there has been a shift in the feedstock in terms of steam molasses and B-heavy molasses. We have gone to B-heavy molasses and we with some marginal investments, I won't call them marginal, about 15 crores of investment, have increased the capacity of the plant by about 50%. The plant capacity has been increased recently. There are some permissions that are required, and we hope that we should be able to get those permissions in the next fortnight or so. Once we get those permissions, the plant will run at a higher capacity, and profitability would certainly improve. The other thing is that the profitability of the ethanol plant cannot be taken in isolation of the sugar plant, because when sugar prices rise, the feedstock which goes to the ethanol plant is valued at a much higher price. Because sugar price is high, so the amount of sugar that you are losing out has to be valued at a much higher price. However, there are many other things because of which the ethanol plant affects the sugar plant in a positive way. Because there is less sugar produced, you get a higher realization of sugar, which is not quantified or captured anywhere. Or there is less molasses produced, so the molasses price is, had this not happened, the molasses price would have been lower, but we are valuing it at the market price. So all these things impact, and in times when sugar prices are going to be lower or lower than what, not today, but low prices relatively, we will see the gain in ethanol to be much more. So I think we have to see it as a combined unit. And when you see it as a combined unit, the ethanol plant is certainly helped in the economics of the Saraswati sugar mills.
Maybe, Mr. Chatnani, if you can answer the last thing on the exposure of EGIT in the carrier biofuel.
So the exposure continues to be the same in terms of US dollars, but because of the currency situation, it is looking larger at some 304 crores. But we have provided 45 crores on that already over the last. We have got carrying expected credit loss provisions of 45 crores on that. Secondly, the loans that we had given to the Singapore company and through that Singapore company to the Cavite Biofuel project continue at the same amount of 50 crore rupees. That company is borrowing from Standard Chartered, from a bank in Philippines. And we have guaranteed those loans. So as of now, it is drawn about 90 crores loans, and those 90 crore loans are guaranteed by us. The balance loan, it has still to borrow.
Much more, sir, roughly?
Another 90 crores to be borrowed.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Rabindra Nayak of Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So regarding this Philippines CapEx again, so what is the normal CapEx for FY24 and what is going to be for Philippines plan? And secondly, as you have already spoken that you are going to operate the plant, so what would be the capital structure of the plant after the completion? And what is the ROCE of the plant? You have already given the EBITDA margin. So what is the ROCE of the plant as compared to ethanol plant that we are having in India? What is the comparison you can give the ROCE on that plant? So will the line item that is appearing in the segment reporting after the completion, will it vanish or it will remain to some extent? And if it is remains, then whether it will be positive or going ahead, that I am asking. Thank you.
So, capital expenditure is still in progress. As I mentioned, about 90 crores loan is yet to be borrowed. But we expect capital expenditure to be something like 110, 115 crores total. More capital expenditures during FY24 on the Philippines plant. On the ROC, I don't have numbers readily. I did mention the EBITDA. We haven't done the calculations on ROC, but we had seen that by operating the plant, there is enough revenue and enough cash profits to be generated to pay the loans and to refund our investment there over a period of 5 or 6 years.
Okay. So that
last point about the line item that is appearing, so obviously in operating segments you try to distinguish. We have not decided yet. I don't think we'll be combining, and I'm just giving you an impression now without having really completed our study on that, is that we will keep it separate from the ethanol in India, because ethanol in Philippines will have a different economics.
Okay, this means, you know, for the plant, is not calculated the ROCE of the plant compared to whatever plants you are operating, whether it will be a better ROCE plant or it is in a similar kind of ROCE will operate.
So I haven't calculated, so I can't answer that question. I can only say that we will be able to service our loans and we'll be able to get SGX investment back.
So if at all you are going to operate the plant and also service, what is the carry period you are looking at the current price of this plant?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question. Please say it again.
Payback period, whatever equity investment, whatever made, and what is the payback period you are looking at from this plan?
I said 5 to 6 years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Parsha Bhavna of Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Just thanks for the follow-up question. Sorry to ask this repetitive questions on the Philippine side. I think, you could say that every analyst is little bit worried on this investment, which has not yet fructified in terms of profitability for the company. So I was just asking, but my line got disconnected. So if you could just guide us, what sort of revenue that you are looking at, from this plant, and by when you expect, to attain the full utilization? Are there offtake arrangements are there with the government or some private body there? So how it is going to function and what could be the potential revenue and when we are expected to achieve that?
So we expect the plant to operate at full capacity for the full year from November onwards. And also, the full capacity is 42 million liters of ethanol a year. Also, in terms of revenue, I think because the revenue is a function of the ethanol price, and the ethanol price is revised every 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only give you, today's price is 83 pesos. 83 pesos is equal to about 125 rupees a liter. So about 600 crores plus is the revenue on an annual basis.
Got it. So it can generate maybe 150 crore kind of number, even if we achieve 25% kind of margin, considering today's price.
25% margin, I don't know. I talked about EBITDA, yes.
Yes, 25% EBITDA margin, that is what you talked about. So 600 crore top line at the today's price can generate close to 150 crore kind of EBITDA, right?
Right.
At full capacity. And that should be possible maybe in the second half of the year.
I know you are interested in those calculations, but we are still a little time away.
Got it. Just to get a sense, because, so it's sort of, confusion in the minds of all of us. So we just wanted to get more clarity on that, because the rest of the business is more or less well understood by all of us. And there are a lot of good things that are happening there, barring, this investment which is sitting on our balance sheet. So once it starts generating the cash flows, I think, overall, cash flow situation and the ROE profile for the company will improve dramatically. So that is why you might be hearing multiple questions from outside. And thanks, sir, for this clarity, and wish you all the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Then our last question is from Aki Lucas, who is an investor.
Thank you for the opportunity. The query is that what is our total profit guarantee that we have actually provided for all our subsidiaries? Because we are also talking about that we will be extending some profit guarantee for the Philippines entity as well. So that's why.
You want to know what are the corporate guarantees we have given?
Yeah, firstly on this, and how much we will be extending more for the Philippines in total?
Corporate guarantee we have given is equal to about 90 crores. And for the 90 crores, it's not actually a corporate guarantee, it's a standby letter of credit from the bank. So total guarantees that we will be giving will, after we give the new guarantee, will be 180 crores.
Other subsidiary, how much will be the corporate guarantee?
So subsidiaries, we have given corporate guarantees for Isdek Hitachi also. You'll have to give me a minute to find the number. Give me a few minutes. So corporate guarantee is given for Isdek Hitachi Zosen. 547 crores. For Isdek Titan Metal Fabricators is 79 crores. And for Isdek Redicam is 20 crores.
Can you just please repeat one for the Isdek Hitachi?
Isdek Hitachi is 549 crores. For
Isdek Hitachi?
Yes, please. These are for their working capital.
Okay.
And for
another 180 crore will be for.
But 180 crores is for the Philippines plant. 79 crores is for Isdek Titan Metal Fabricators. And 20 crores is for Isdek Redicam Enviro Solutions.
Okay.
So these are, I just want to clarify that these are the total limits we have guaranteed. But when we say Isdek Hitachi Zosen 547 crores, that doesn't mean that their exposure is 547 crores. They may have used only about 300 something crores of limits out of that.
Okay. Another thing, just wanted to know, because the receivable side was too high, 2,780 crores. Is there any company from which we have not received any money from the last 6 or 12 months?
I'm sorry, I can't. You'll have to speak a little louder, sir. I can't hear you at all.
Okay. So we have approximately 2,800 crores of book debt, right? So of this book debt, is there any due which is more than 6 months? From which companies we haven't received any money? Because the amount
there
is
are,
too
there
high.
There are certain dues which are more than 6 months, but let me tell you. There are dues which are in the nature of milestone payments, which become due after milestones are achieved. And there are some retention payments.
there are certain dues which are more than 6 months, but they're all good.
Okay. Yeah. We expect that all the money will be coming back. 2,788. Correct.
So we have a practice of doing provisions under the expected credit loss system, which is, and we do give out our information to outside valuers who advise us what expected credit loss, after an assessment, they advise us what expected credit loss provisions we need to make. So while there are some amounts which are due over 6 months, but we are also carrying certain provisions.
One more thing, just wanted to know on the EJET capacity side, because you have said that 549 crores of approximately CD is there. So this company seems
sir,
to be
important.
Louder and slower. We can't hear you. We can't comprehend what you're saying. Sorry for that.
Okay. I will repeat it again. I think now it is okay. Yeah, it's better. So EJET Hitachi is having a 549 crores of corporate guarantee with them. The limit will be obviously lesser than what you have told right now. But considering the same, it is an important treaty for the EJET. And somewhere we have told that there will be 10% of growth in our books on a standalone basis. But on the console basis, it will be close to 10%, not more than 10%. So for the EJET Hitachi, if I say, what is the revenue growth we expect?
So we are not able to answer that question.
We are not able to answer that question because
we are not able to answer specific questions about like that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that ends our questions for today, and I'd like to hand the call back to Mr. Jain from ICICI Securities for some closing remarks.
I would like to thank the management for taking the time out to host this call for attending this call. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Puri for his closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for joining this conference call, and we hope to meet you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that then concludes today's event, and you may now disconnect your lines.